Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tram. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tram. Today we're going to be learning the halachas of Eruvei Techumim. This is a different type of Eruv than we've been learning about beforehand. This is Siman Tzadi Hei, the 95th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Up to now, when we talk about an Eruv, colloquially we're usually referring to what is the Tzuras HaPesach, the actually circumscribing of a neighborhood. The Eruv itself is that which links the usability of the common areas, like one would link the common areas in a apartment building, like the hallways and the lobby, by putting a meal in a shared from the shared space from all the Jewish inhabitants in one place and renting the area from a non-Jew, for all the non-Jews who have access to the common space, the same working with the town. The question then becomes over here in the Eruv Techumim is a completely different topic altogether. This is the notion that where a person starts Shabbos, when Shabbos comes in, where the person is at, they are only allowed to walk 2,000 amos, 2,000 cubits from where they started Shabbos. That is what the halacha is. And the Eruv is going to help us extend it in one direction or the other. This is nothing to do about carrying on Shabbos. This is about walking on Shabbos. Meaning, even if I'm not carrying something, I'm still limited by a certain limit of the amount of space that I'm supposed to be walking on Shabbos. Let's jump straight in. The first topic is measuring the Tchum Shabbos. So what if one was in a city at the onset of Shabbos? So an entire city is considered like a person's residence, and one may walk from edge to edge, even if there's much more than 2,000 amos in the city itself, and the 2,000 amos would start from the edge of the city. How much distance is 2,000 amos? It's about roughly 1.1 kilometer. So that would be from the edge of where the city. Or if, let's say, one is in a forest or a desert, or one's on the road and one's not in a city, then one would have 2,000 amos from the edge of where they are right now. Does the measuring begin from the edge of the last house in a city situation? So the answer is no. Let's say we reach the edges of the houses. There is a 70 and two-third amma distance beyond the last houses. This is called a karpef, and that is where the 2,000 ammas start from as well. How much is 70 and two-thirds ammas? It's roughly around 125 feet or 38 meters. How is the tchum measured in a walled or densely built city? So a walled city or one who has houses that are close to one another, so less than 70 amos from each other, is considered one unit. The tchum is measured from the edge of the density or the wall of that city, and that's where it starts measurements. If I'm in a house outside a city, does the house itself have a karpef around it before measuring the 2,000 amos? The answer is no. That area that goes around a city is only for a city, not for an individual house in the middle of nowhere. So if, let's say, one's renting a house for a family retreat and happens to be in an area which is not a city, the houses are very sparsely, very, very, very distantly placed from each other, then one would measure 2,000 amos from the edge of the house, the wall of the house itself. If two cities or two towns are near to each other, when are they considered one to be considered, be able to walk from one to the other without it measuring 2,000 amos from the edge of one? So if the gap between them is less, they're no more than two karpef enclosures, they are considered one city. So that's between 140 amos, which is not so far. This happens when sort of like villages merge because they grow and expand. If they merge into each other, then it's considered one city in this regard as well. One has to be careful if you have a city where the houses are very sparsely placed. And so, like, let's say you go out in the countryside and the houses are very far from each other, then that doesn't really constitute a city. We're talking about a city where the houses are very close to each other. Who should measure the tchum? The Kitzur points out that there are a number of halachas, both le chumra and le kula, for leniency and for stringency. So therefore, it requires an expert to measure these things as well. If one is going to a family retreat and one's renting a house in the middle of nowhere, one should really do the measurements a little bit more carefully before Shabbos and ask the shaliz then, so one can know that on a Shabbos afternoon, one's not walking outside of the tchum. This is not about carrying. This is just the limits of walking on Shabbos. And 2,000 amos, 1 kilometer, is not so much. It's not so much distance. One has to take into account hills and barriers and things like that as well. we move into our second concept, that is making the Eretz Tuchumim. Up to now, we describe the fact that a person has a Tuchum Shabbos. What is the purpose of the Eretz Tuchumim? So if one plans to walk 2,000 Amos on Shabbos and Yom Tov, beyond the 2,000 Amos, they may set up an Eruv to extend it. So how does one do this? So Eruv Tuchumim is where a person brings food enough for two meals to a desired spot within the boundary or from where they are. So let's say a person has a house, a farm in the middle of nowhere, and they want to walk more than 2,000 Amos, more than 1.1 kilometer to the north. So they can place an Eruv Tuchumim, this meal that is within 1 kilometer of them to the north, which will now mean to say that that's their spot where Shabbos starts, and now they can move northwards of their farm up to now almost double the area, because it's 1 kilometer to the north, that's where one's Eruv is, and then one is another kilometer to the north again, so it's really now extended to almost 2 kilometers. To do this, one needs to recite the bracha, which is Asher Kedushat Mitzvah Zivana, Amitzvah Eruv, and then say, by the means of this Eruv, it should be permissible for me to walk from this place to 2,000 Amos in each direction, and that becomes the place, the makom of the Shvisa. If the Eruv is placed on the west of the city, are there any limitations in terms of walking? The answer is yes. If one makes the locus, the focus of where one starts on Shabbos, in the north or then in the south, one cannot move 2,000 Amos. One starts measuring from the place the meal is. One is not allowed to move in the other direction. Does one need to be there with the food as Shabbos comes in? The answer is no, but the process needs to be done before Shabbos. Where must it be placed? So it needs to be placed in a safe place in which it will not be eaten over the course of Shabbos. Can the Eruv be used for multiple Shabbosim? The answer is yes, as long as the food is in a safe location and it doesn't spoil. Can someone else place the Eruv for me? The answer is yes, as long as the person who is the agent, the messenger, is above Bar Mitzvah and of sound mind and is able to say these statements on behalf of me. A child may not do this for one. Does the messenger, need to return to the sender before Shabbos to affirm that they did their job? The answer is no. The assumption is it's a chazaka that a person will do their bidding. Can one Eruv be made for many people? The answer is yes, as long as there's enough food for all of the people it's made for. And number two is that it's done with the permission of the people, and their names are mentioned by the agent who's doing it. So it may be one person on behalf of another three people, so that person will say, this Eruv is for all of us, and the other people know that they're part of it, and there's enough food for the meals of each of those people. We move to the next concept, which is the placement of the Eruv. Where can or cannot an Eruv be placed? So it needs to be placed in a place which is accessible for eating at twilight on Shabbos. So therefore, it cannot be in an area which access would be only gained through transgressing an Isser D'Oraisa, a biblical prohibition to access. So what's an example of an invalid place? If it would be buried under the earth, so to eat it, one would need to dig it, or in a soft tree or reed that climbing it would break it to get there. But what's an example of a valid place? So even if there's only an Isser D'Rabbanan to get there, that's still valid. So let's say under a stone, that's an Isser of Muksa, or in a strong tree, which is an Isser D'Rabbanan climbing a tree. Technically speaking, that Eruv still is valid, even if one cannot get it because of an Isser D'Rabbanan. If I'm outside the city before Shabbos and I place the Eruv in the city, what is the status of my movement? So I'm outside of the city and I place my Eruv in the city. So the whole city becomes one's residence. Even if it's a huge city, one can walk the 2,000 Amos from the city, the entire city edge. What if the Tchum reaches a town? The whole town count in the Eruv? The answer is it depends. If the entire village is within the 2,000 Amos, then we view the scope of that city as only 4 Amos. So let's say I am 500 Amos away from a city. I play and I make my Eruv, or I start my Shabbos right here. Then the city itself, let's say the city itself is 1,000 Amos wide, and so it's all within my Tchum Shabbos, then we consider it only like 4 Amos, and therefore there's still another 2,000 Amos minus 504 Amos beyond the village on the other side. However, the Tchum ends within the town, so let's say I'm outside the town, and my Tchum, sort of, the radius of my Tchum of 2,000 Amos ends within the town, I may not go beyond where the Tchum ends in the city as well. So to follow up on that, what if I place the Eruv almost 2,000 Amos outside of the city? such that Eruv reaches just into the city, but not even to my house in the city, what may I do then? So the answer is because the Tchum is set outside of the city and does not encompass the entire city, then in that case, it only goes to where the radius reaches in the city, and I may not even walk to my house once I get there because I decided or I was only outside of that city. We move to our next concept, and that is purpose and timing of the Eruv. When may one make an Eruv Tchumim? So one's only allowed to make an Eruv for a mitzvah purpose. So davening with a minion, visiting a Rebbe, communal needs, a mitzvah meal, or returning from a trip. One cannot just make it randomly. When must the Eruv be placed if Yom Tov is before or after Shabbos? One may not make an Eruv Tchumim on Shabbos or on Yom Tov for the day afterwards. So therefore, if Shabbos is before Yom Tov, one places it on Eruv Shabbos. If Yom Tov is before Shabbos, one places it on Eruv Yom Tov for the next for the following day. Our last concept is property and ship travel. What is the Tchum status of one's property or livestock? So they share the same Tchum restrictions as the owner and therefore cannot travel beyond this Tchum, which means if I own a cow and I am in my farm, the cow may not travel more than 2,000 amas, even if a person who's taking it has more flexibility in their area because it started, let's say, to the north. The cow is restricted by where my Eruv was because it's my property. What happens if I lended or rented them out? So if one entrusted it to somebody else, that person, then they adopt a person's Tchum, even if that person is a non-Jew. What happens if a non-Jew brings fruit from outside the Tchum? So if they bring it for a Jew, one's not allowed to benefit from anything bought for a Jew, and therefore one would not be able to enjoy it on Shabbos at all until after Shabbos Kadesh Yas, the amount of time it would take to actually go pick it. However, if it was brought for the non-Jew himself, and then a Jew may actually benefit from it. There's no Amir al-Akum benefit problem on Shabbos, but it's limited to four amos where a person has it. So let's say a non-Jew goes outside the city and did not pick it on Shabbos, as an example, or it was not picked for a Jew, so one's just bringing it from outside the Tchum. In that case, one may enjoy it within the four amos of where it was, or if it's in a house or it's a walled city, that's considered like the entire four amos, and one may carry it in that area as well. If it's doubtful as to whether it was brought from inside or outside the Tchum, it's forbidden unless it was likely that it was not brought from outside the Tchum. Does the Tchum apply above 10 tefachim, above 3 feet? The answer is no. So what's the practical application of that? An application is if one walks on a ship and that stays above 10 tefachim, one may walk 2,000 amas from the port. So let's say a ship arrives at the port on Shabbos, and that's the first time it arrives, because the boat is considered above 10 tefachim, certainly above the seabed. In that case, a person may actually walk 2,000 amas from when one descended on the port on Shabbos. However, what if one disembarks during Shabbos and then re-embarks? So if the ship, let's say it arrives on Shabbos, a person steps out, that's where one gets one's shvisa, one's resting on Shabbos, that becomes their place. If they have to re-embark on the ship and the ship goes to another port, one may not leave the ship. The ship is considered their four amos, they're part of their tchum, but they may not go to the next port and disembark that Shabbos at all. What happens if it's a very shallow sea and the place of the harbor is less than 10 tefachim to the bottom of the ship, or to the seabed, which is a dangerous thing in general, but let's say that was the case, then the ship is kodesh shvisa, and the ship then is considered like that's one's place, and the ship is actually part of the, does actually acquire its place, and one may not leave the ship in that case. If one's unsure whether it was above or 10 tefachim, or how deep the depth of the water is, one may be lenient, and that's usually the case in most situations. With this, we conclude the very fascinating topic of Eruvei Tchumim. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.